Here at the NAFB Trade Talk, I'm in the Growth Energy booth, and with me is Tom Baez, who is CEO of Growth Energy. And now, Tom, growth really just got kicked off about a year ago, and you've been on board since about January or so?
March.
Yeah. And what would you say are the accomplishments that Growth Energy has made in the last year?
Well, you know, we were founded about a year ago, Cindy, and primarily to kind of counter all the negative image that people were trying to portray ethanol with. They weren't telling the facts. They were making stuff up, myths, lies, misinformation. And it started with food versus fuel. And a lot of the ethanol companies decided we need to stand up and tell our side of the story. We need to educate consumers as well as policymakers about the benefits of ethanol. And then some of the hurdles and roadblocks that we face as an industry, rather than sitting back and hoping something was going to happen, and decided to work for it. And I filed the Green Jobs Waiver request, raising the blend level of ethanol into gasoline from 10% to 15%. And what that means for not just our industry, but for our nation as a whole, is tremendous. Going from 10% to 15% ethanol is the equivalent of replacing all the oil that we get from a country like Venezuela, who doesn't exactly share our country's interests. Last year, we transferred $500 billion worth of our nation's wealth to foreign countries for imported oil. We've been literally over this barrel of imported oil for three and a half decades. It's time to move the country forward. And going from E10 to E15 also creates jobs. 136,000 new jobs that can't be outsourced right here in America at a time when our unemployment rate continues to skyrocket. Over 10% of our nation's unemployed. We can do better, and you got to fight for it. And the third thing we did was shoehorned into the 2007 energy legislation was this provision that basically penalizes America's farmers and ranchers and takes away their sovereignty by saying that if another country tears down a tree or increases, brings virgin land back into production, then we're going to penalize American ethanol and biodiesel production. I've never heard a more bizarre, wacky provision in the two decades I've been in Washington, D.C. It's not based on science. It's not based on accurate economic modeling. It's based on somebody's concept of, well, how can we erect another hurdle to move in this nation where we should have been? And we took that fight to Congress. We won that provision in the House of Representatives. We're pushing right now really hard, encouraging all the listeners, call their senators, tell them to reinstate common sense, get rid of this bizarre provision called indirect land use that threatens America's sovereignty.
Where do we stand at this point with the Green Jobs Waiver? There's been some talk lately that EPA may not make a decision by December 1st.
Well, there's been no official decision made, and there's a lot of rumors, and there's a lot of speculation, and a lot of critics out there who don't want to see them make that decision. The waiver request that we filed contains all the data necessary under the Clean Air Act requirements that provides engine durability testing, emissions equipment testing. You can wait, and one of the common practices in Washington or anywhere is if you don't like something, try to get them to study it. Well, we can study this stuff, Cindy, till the cows come home. All the data is there to support it. Move forward. And every day that EPA delays a decision is another day that foreign governments, foreign oil wins here in America. As far as all the rumors, you know, my experience in Washington has always been the people who are doing the talking don't know, and the people who know don't talk. So hopefully in the next couple of weeks we'll get a positive decision. I think it's the right move at the right time, and shame on us if we don't move forward.
As far as the energy bill is concerned, we had a requirement for cellulosic ethanol for 2010. Again, rumors in the news reports have been that we may not be able to meet that requirement next year. What does Growth Energy think about that?
Well, you know, Cindy, again, it goes back to this barrier that we face on the blend wall. There are a lot of companies out there ready to move forward on cellulosic ethanol, but you have to have a marketplace. Right now, the marketplace is tapped out at, with the production of corn ethanol. if EPA does what they should do here in the next couple of weeks and announce they're raising that blend wall to 15%, it sends a signal of certainty to the marketplace to move forward. There are a lot of companies. We have companies within growth energy that have been working on using corn cobs and corn stover to produce cellulosic ethanol. But it takes millions of dollars in investments, and people are not going to invest that money without that certainty of a marketplace.
Blender pumps is something that Growth Energy has been pushing. Why are blender pumps so important? Why do you think that if we have more blender pumps out there, that that'll help increase the use of ethanol?
Well, one of the hurdles we've faced on getting above 10% ethanol into even cars like flex fuel vehicles has been the delivery mechanism to the consumer, the people that buy gasoline. What blender pumps do is they give that consumer a choice. And if the market signals are it's better at E30 than it is at E85 or E10, let the consumer make that decision. You know, they've done that in Brazil. And if you take a blender pump program combined with flex fuel vehicle mandate, then you turn over that power to the consumer. And consumers are smart. They'll know what to do. And you put a label on that pump and tell them where that foreign oil is coming from, and consumers will make the right choice there, too. They have in clothes, they have in food, you know where all that comes from. So let's move forward. We can do better as a nation, and everyone knows that.
Well, last year, of course, was a pretty bad year for ethanol. We saw a lot of plants close last year. How would you say the status of the industry is today?
Oh, I think the industry is recovered a lot. They're now operating in the black. But, you know, you got to keep in mind, last year was devastating economically for every business, not just in the United States, but around the world. It was tough times. But I think we're seeing those end. They started this summer, and there's profitability back in that marketplace. We just need some signals on how to move forward. That's why that E15 decision is so important. And there are some who say, well, just go to E12. All the data we submitted not only supports E15, it would support it up to E20. So go for something that's really going to send the positive signal out there. Let's get going.
Well, when you talk about positive signals, we're talking about people getting in and investing dollars, not just the federal government grants and things like that, but you're actually talking about private business getting in and investing the dollars needed to move us forward in next generation biofuels.
Absolutely, and create a domestic industry. It creates jobs for Americans that tells these other countries that don't like us, you know, you no longer have this economic leverage, and we're going to reduce this addiction to foreign oil.
What can farmers and ranchers out there do that support ethanol? How can they help have their voices heard? What are the mechanisms that Growth Energy has for producers out there who support ethanol to have their voices heard?
Speak up. Mm-hmm. Don't be shy. Engage with your policymakers, engage with the decision makers, engage with your neighbors and the local media and everyone else, and tell that real story of all the benefits out there. You know, we have not only ethanol plants as members, we have associate members of the allied industries, and then we have this thing called the Growth Force, which is a free membership to any farmer that wants to sign up, that's willing to stand up and say, hey, I support this stuff. Let's move forward. And we have over 13,000 members in that, which is quite remarkable in a short period of time. But we need their help. Everyone has a stake in this industry, ought to speak up and get involved. And they can go to www.growthforce.org to sign up. And go to www.growthenergy.org to find out any of the issues and stuff we're working on. Or they can pick up the phone and call us.
All right, very good. Thank you very much. Tom Baez, CEO of Growth Energy. Here at NAFB Trade Talk, I'm Cindy Zimmerman.